A look at the issue of sexual harassment in the Alaska legislature. And why the Upper Lynn Canal has seen a mix of warm, cold, windy, and dry weather in January. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The Me Too movement has reached Alaska's capital. In the 2 weeks since the state legislature convened, there's been workplace training, proposed changes to the legislature's sexual harassment policy, and allegations made against one lawmaker now being called upon to resign. As part of Coast Alaska's series on this year's session, KCAW's Emily Kwong reports on the legislature's culture of silence and what's being done to break it.
When asked before session whether the Alaska legislature had a harassment problem, Ketchikan Representative Dan Ortez gave a tentative no.
I don't think it's wide-ranging. However, I don't think that anybody really knows the level that it exists because of the reluctance and understandable reluctance of reporters.
But in recent months, the legislature has been reconsidering that question, rocked by high-profile reports from female staffers. Accusations were brought against Wasilla Senator David Wilson, and after legislative aides accused Kiana Representative Dean Westlake of making unwanted sexual advances, an investigation was launched. Westlake later resigned. And this weekend, a Juneau woman told the press that Bethel Representative Zach Fansler assaulted her in a hotel room after a night of drinking. House Speaker Bryce Edgman is now calling on Fansler to resign. Edgman's statement reads, quote, "I am overcome with sympathy and respect for the victim. It takes immense bravery to bring these matters forward." While protecting her identity, the Juneau Empire reported the woman is a state employee. Until these events, sexual harassment within the Alaska legislature had little visibility. Since 2000, the Legislative Affairs Agency has conducted 11 investigations into sexual harassment and 2 into other kinds of workplace harassment. But what about cases where victims haven't come forward? Senator Bert Stedman says he's seen bad behavior when tensions run high.
Door slamming, windows breaking, screaming, hollering, sometimes vulgar language, that type of stuff goes on.
Though new to the building, Juneau Democrat Justin Parrish says there's pressure among young staffers who are at-will employees hired twice a year to stay silent if something happens.
The perennial concern is, if I should report, I'll never work in the building again. And that's hard to bear.
Many lawmakers agree that the legislature's policy for handling sexual harassment, adopted in 2000, needs an update. There's a 6-member subcommittee working on this. They released a draft version last week, building off language from the Oregon legislature. Whereas current policy has just one paragraph on how to report harassment, this draft has 10 pages. Eagle River Senator Anna McKinnon, who is on the subcommittee, wants potential victims to know they have options and that any formal investigation will be led by someone outside the legislative branch.
That member's case would be investigated externally so the public had great confidence in the outcome and that it wasn't politically either underreported or overreported.
Many lawmakers interviewed for this story said that unbiased investigation is key in a workplace where everything a staffer does can have political consequences for his or her boss. The draft policy would map out those structural changes. But what about cultural changes that can't be written in words? What about behavior that isn't illegal but uncivil or uncomfortable? Anchorage Democrat Ivy Sponholz wants to create an environment where staffers can talk about that too.
What I have been most surprised by was, you know, how uncomfortable our staff felt filing complaints or bringing up concerns to the legislators that they work for or to the Legislative Affairs Agency. That says to me that, you know, our culture is really, really broken.
But the culture is better than it used to be. McKinnon says the legislature was a bit of a, quote, good old boys club when she joined in 2006.
And I've seen these new younger men that are coming into elected positions be more sensitive to equality for everyone. It's a cultural transition that we're going through, and I think it does take all of us standing up and saying some behavior is unacceptable.
For SICA Democrat Jonathan Christ-Tompkins, that's meant coming to terms with the scope of the problem. He said all these harassment allegations have produced sobering conversations, and he hopes a zero-tolerance policy.
We should be held to, at the very least, the same standard everyone else is, which is no illegal, predatory, or harassing behavior, but ideally a far higher standard, and we're not there yet.
As of press time, Representative Zach Fansler had not responded to the House majority's call to resign. The next meeting of the Sexual and Workplace Harassment Subcommittee is Thursday. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
As January ends and February begins, I took a look at what turned out to be an unusual month of weather in the Upper Lynn Canal. The end of January was cold, windy, and dry, the kind of weather that chaps lips and cancels ferries. But January wasn't all like that. Remember when the new year started with a snowstorm? Since then, the snow has come and gone from Haines and Skagway. Monthly snowfalls weren't too far below normal. But what was weird, according to the National Weather Service in Juneau, were the waves of different weather that came and went throughout the month. I talked to Jessica Voveris at NWS. She said, the last few weeks, forecasters have seen something called an omega block. It's called that because it looks like the Greek letter omega. This pattern has led to the cold, windy weather we've had lately. But earlier in January, that was far from the truth. In fact, the middle of the month saw record-breaking temperatures in parts of the state. On January 15th in Haines, the maximum temperature was 50 degrees, with a low of 36. In terms of snow, Vovera says there was a pattern in January where the snow would fall, but then there would be a warm push turning into rain. So what's to come? Vovera says it looks like that omega pattern is starting to break down. But at least for now, it's probably going to stay cold, with no significant snowfall through at least the weekend. And that wind isn't going to let up yet. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins. A Canadian mining company that specializes in rare earth mineral extraction announced it plans to build a processing facility in Ketchikan. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
Eucor Rare Metals Incorporated, based in Nova Scotia, has been exploring the Bokan Dotson Ridge site on Prince of Wales Island as a possible new mine. That potential mine is not anywhere near production yet, but Mike Schreider, Vice President of Operations and Engineering, says the plant will be built whether or not the mine is developed.
We would actually initially process feedstocks from other sites throughout the world, get the processing plant up and running and established, and then eventually when the timing is right with the market, we would ultimately try to get Bokan online and then also process the Bokan ore concentrate at this particular facility.
Schreider says a specific site for the processing plant has not yet been chosen. The first step was deciding on Ketchikan as the right location.
We looked at a variety of factors, including the proximity to Bokan mine, the existing relationship that we have with ADA, the access to the international shipping corridors, the available workforce in Ketchikan, and so it's a good fit for us, and we felt like it'd also be a good fit for Ketchikan.
ADA is the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. That state agency provides financial assistance for economic development projects in the state. The legislature in 2014 approved an ADA financing package of $145 million to develop Bokan Mine and related processing facilities. The prices for rare earth elements dropped a few years ago. Schreider says work at the mine is on hold.
We're waiting for signs of recovery in that particular sector. And then once we see those signs, that'll lead us to the next steps of that project.
Schreider says there's not yet a timeline for development of the processing plant.
Now that we've made the determination to locate the plant in Ketchikan, we need to go through our next phase of due diligence, which will then yield a detailed plan for us, and then we'll come out with, you know, what our anticipated schedule is.
Schreider says the plant, after it's built, will initially employ about a dozen people. Eventually, he says it will employ about 30. Rare earth elements are used in high-tech products such as cellular telephones and electric vehicles. Most of the rare earth elements in the market now come from China. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight.